This meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to the RDS Who Is Two Leadership Call number 33 on the 5th of July, 2018 at 1530 UTC. And attending the call today is Catherine Barbel, Susan Kawaguchi, and Alan Greenberg. The MICAN organization is Jean-Baptiste and Brenda, and apologies from Alan. And I'd like to remind you the call is being recorded. Please state your name before speaking. Jean-Baptiste, I'll turn the call over to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brenda. And for today's leadership call, we are listed on today's agenda, the ICANN 62 engagement session, a subgroup status update, ICANN 63, and the plenary call, and the suggested agenda for plenary call 33 next week. Is there anything else you would like to discuss on today's agenda?
Maybe just a few minutes of strategy of how we go forward. Assuming we have a meeting on the Monday of the face-to-face meeting, we have three meetings left. So we're sort of tight.
Sure. So starting with the first agenda item on the engagement session that you had in Panama, I just wanted to hear quickly from you on some of the lessons learned for future outreach sessions here. What can be improved? I remember you had a few technical issues. Is there anything else that you would like to share?
Well, it's Alan. The main thing is a change in procedure of whoever's running the meeting to make sure they know who's on the stage. I don't know if you caught it, but I found out the day after that Stephanie was upset that I hadn't called upon her, and I hadn't realized she's on the stage. And when we got to her item, I said, you know, I didn't want to embarrass her, so I said, you know, she couldn't make it, and I quickly gave a summary of the Anything New because I hadn't prepared it. And I found out the next day on Friday that she was upset I hadn't called upon her. I only found out on Saturday that she's actually on the stage. She was at the end of the table, and I couldn't see her.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's all mended, and she seems satisfied. But, you know, I have no idea why no one else on the panel, you know, tapped me on the shoulder or came and danced in front of me or hit me over the head and said she's there. So I have – maybe Susan has some insight.
Oh, this is Susan.
Go ahead.
No. That was real life. But I know that when we started there, and I couldn't see always. I could not see her until the end. And had no idea. And also, just, you know, later when I realized she was at the end, I thought, oh, maybe she didn't want to present or something. I thought it was just a change of plan. But you would have thought she might have spoke up.
Well, I would have thought someone would have spoken up. Since I did say she couldn't make it, I didn't just say I'm taking it. So I don't really know. Apparently, when she came in, there was a fuss because she was originally scheduled to sit beside me and Volker, and she wanted to be at the end because she didn't want to drag her bag. And her name card was moved. I saw her name card at the end of the table, but I could read it, so it was at right angles to the table. So I presumed staff had just moved it there out of the way, and I never saw her. And you know, if someone had even mentioned at the end, I could have made an announcement apologizing. But anyway, it is what it is.
I don't
think
it's that big of a deal.
Well, it was a big deal to her. You know, she felt, you know, I was deliberately passing over her or something like that, or not allowing her to speak. So anyway, it seems to be patched up right now, and so be it. Okay, so that's a lesson learned. Next time, have everyone introduce themselves, or if someone's not there, ask where they are. But presumably that won't happen again. Anyway, I learned something. Mm-hmm. Let's quickly go. Susan has a hard stop in 20 minutes, so
yep.
Let us quickly go over these.
Sure. So what could you use to list the different comments that were received during the session, including the one that you had mentioned by email from Michele? And also there were three other comments, so one also on compliance and two others on compliance, sorry, one on the contactability, and finally one on consumer trust, indicating that USFTC has useful information on the role of accessible GUIs in protecting consumers. So those were just listed for information and for subgroup reports when.
Let's quickly look at them. Susan McKaylee's rant, he seems to be completely correct the way I read it, and I don't know how it slipped by. Am I missing something?
Alan, what was your question?
The question is McKaylee's rant on where we say a single incident could initiate a full audit. He seems to be right on, and I don't know how we allowed that to get through unless I'm missing some subtle part of the wording.
No, I mean, I don't think that's what Lily really meant, and I do think we have almost a length problem or a process problem here. But I also didn't think it was that big of a deal. Some other people thought enjoyed the whole interaction with McKaylee. But, I think it's part of the process. People from A, new to ICANN and languages, what she was trying to get at here, and I think we could review it in Brussels, is that if there are complaints consistently or, like a higher number for some complaints with a registrar, then that should be looked into. So it needs to be reworded. To sort of respect Lily's pretty adamant this should stay in. I thought we should just play it out, see what the community says.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not arguing that the concept is valid. It's just the wording for a valid who is an ARS ticket that McKaylee was commenting on, and I think that part is he's right on. But we can debate it in any case. Next one is what's the next one? Next one is that was the one from Reg on a suspended domain name and the where we were talking about the lack of response, not the the changing the information in the domain name, and I think I think we're right in doing that, but the wording may need to be clarified. DAR blacklist not having accountability, I think that's a red herring that we're going to have to work around. I mean, DAR is the DAR tool is being used to initiate compliance queries, I believe. I believe that's what David Conrad has said. So it's not our call that the blacklists don't have a quote accountability. At least that's my position anyway. And the consumer trust one, I didn't really understand the question, to be honest. So I guess we're going to have to talk about that more. Susan or Catherine, any comments?
Yes, this is Catherine. Just on the DAR one, I think there's some anxiety in the community around what DAR can do, because in a sense, if it were to provide reliable information, then we would like to see at some point, at least for the GAC, we would like to see compliance action based on this, or at the very least, voluntary action by registries and registrars to basically follow up on reliable information on threats that are detected as part of DAR or on other issues that affect the security and stability of the DNS. So I think that's why there's now attempts on all fronts to basically limit somehow ring-fence this tool. So I mean, I would certainly not feel comfortable with any language discrediting or in any way limiting the potential of DAR, which I think is an extremely helpful tool that can provide objective information about how certain actors in this environment are behaving.
Yes.
So I need to review the exact wording of the session because I haven't done that yet. But I think that's something we also should maybe think about some language on before we go into the public comment period so that we can proactively address it and then sort of focus the comments on that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think it does. And from my point of view, DAR doesn't rely on a single blacklist. It looks at a composite view, and it doesn't take action, implicitly take action as registrar, but it's enough to raise an issue that compliance should look into it more. And I agree with you 100%. Any further comments on the engagement session? Then let us go on to the next thing.
As an status update, in the interest of time, do you want me to go through each of these?
I don't think we have the time, and I'm not sure it's going to add a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The real question, I think, is what I raised earlier, is what do we do to try to make sure going into Brussels we are in a much better state than we are right now. We're not going to have a lot of time to discuss stuff in plenaries. So it's really a matter of making sure going into Brussels we have hard copy, or the documents in a pretty good form so we can discuss them there. We only have 2 days, so we're going to have to be, moderately careful with our time.
Yes, and just if I can just quickly revert to that, Alan, I just wanted to mention that we had worked on populating the draft report and especially the background section, and we'll share a copy of that by tomorrow close of business. And this will inform Brussels preparation related discussions.
But I am troubled by the number of red X's in the subgroup column, never mind the review column. Let's try to get as accurate a picture we have as possible of who's going to be attending the Monday meeting, because if we don't have good attendance to that meeting, I think we're in big trouble.
We can send a quick email for everyone to confirm their participation.
And remind them we only have 2.5 weeks left before our face-to-face.
Yeah.
Susan, Catherine?
This is Catherine. I mean, I'm well aware I'm one of the delinquents in terms of moving stuff on my side, and I'm trying, and will hopefully manage to at least get the law enforcement thing moving again. I can't really say much beyond that at the moment.
No, I know under pressure the two of you will deliver this. I have no worries about that. I do have worries about some of the other people who we've been having a really hard time getting anything out of them. And Volker is not likely to be any less busy in the next couple of weeks. So, anyway, we'll do what we can. We have made some pretty strong commitments that we're going to have something pretty well close to finished by the end of July, so let's work towards it.
Shall we move on to the next topic?
Please.
And the next one is regarding ICANN 63. So the dates are 20th to the 25th of October. So here it's just a heads up that the deadline to request a face-to-face meeting before or during ICANN 63 is the 20th of July. And the only dates available for a pre-meeting are the 18th and the 19th of October. So I don't know whether you had thought of organizing a meeting before or during ICANN 63, but this is just for information, and this deadline is also in 2 weeks.
Assuming we go out to comment on time early in August, and I think we're planning to do something like a two-month comment, or at least certainly at least 6 weeks, and we can talk about that at the meeting. We're only going to get the report back on the comments essentially at the beginning of October, at best. So maybe even a little bit later. So I don't know to what extent we're going to have had an opportunity to discuss all of the comments prior to the ICANN meeting. I'm hoping we will, but I'm not really sure we will. So are we going to be I think there's two questions. Number one, are we going to be ready for another engagement session essentially to present our final report? I think we are not likely to. And therefore, my inclination right now is to not hold an engagement session, but offer to hold meetings with individual ACs and SOs. Susan and Catherine?
That makes sense to me. I agree. I don't think we'll be with a final report by the how does that impact the timeline, then?
I'm sorry, Susan, you're sort of garbled.
If we get comments.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I don't know if this is any better. We have a new internet provider, and it's not. I don't understand how that. If we talk to everybody at the Barcelona meeting and go back and finalize our report, then we can still issue it before the meeting, right?
So, sorry, you're too garbled. I'm only getting every third word or so. Maybe you can type it in. I think we're going to be using a good part of November, December to finalize the report. So I don't think we're going to have a lot more other than perhaps be able to summarize what the comments are, and I don't think that warrants a public session. But there may be some groups who do want to meet to discuss things. We're talking about issuing the final report essentially by the end of the calendar year, conceivably a week or two into January. But you know, just based on holidays and things like that. But that's certainly what I was imagining. Do we have a responsibility to deliver it at a public meeting? The answer is no. I don't think there's any such responsibility. If you look at CCT review, they're likely to issue it within the next couple of weeks, and they haven't had a public meeting in a while now. I think there may well be a good reason to have a public meeting summarizing, you know, going over it in some detail at the March meeting. And you'll recall I put an item in the budget to cover that because we're not expecting the board to come back until June or so. So I think presenting it to the public in March would be a good thing, because at that point there's an opportunity for interaction between us and the board, for whoever's at the meeting, and also a heads up if any people want to make any comments. There won't be a public comment period. Well, there will be. The board will actually go out for public comment at that point. So we could probably work with the board to make sure the public comment is still open for the March meeting. That might be something that's worth negotiating.
This is Catherine. Just if I may, for my clarification,
please.
I have one question. I was under the impression that once we have our draft report, that there would be a comment period on the draft report, and if that were to be the case, in my view, it would make sense to have an engagement session while there is a possibility for people to provide input. But if indeed that is foreseen for later in the process, then I'm fully in line with what you said before, that it makes more sense to do this in March.
Yeah, well, we're planning to go out for public comment once the draft report is ready. So essentially, whatever time it takes to finish the editing after the July meeting, after our face-to-face meeting. So we're going to go out for public comment sometime, presumably early, hopefully early, but certainly in August. And then the public comment will be open for, a reasonable number of weeks. I think we're required to have an absolute minimum of 40 days, which is 6 weeks, essentially, and we may well choose to hold it open for another couple of weeks. So that means it's going to end sometime in October.
Right. So that was also my understanding. But then I'm wondering why we would not do an engagement session in October, because that will be after the community has had a chance to review the draft report. And that, to me, seems like a useful point in time to ask for more input.
Well, but the input presumably has come in the form of the public comments, and we may well not have had an opportunity to review the public comments at that point, or certainly we would not have done it in any depth. So that was the reason that I'm suggesting that we're not going to have a lot new to say other than what was in the draft report. In any case, Susan has to go shortly, so maybe we should we'll have this on the agenda. But I can't see, just repeating what was in our draft report after the public comment period has closed, I don't think has a lot of merit. There's no cost in doing it, but I'm not sure the real benefit. Especially if we give ACs and SOs an opportunity to talk about it if they choose.
And so then just for confirmation, so at this stage you want to keep the discussion open with the review team for a possible face-to-face meeting or this is...
I think we should. As I said, I don't feel particularly strongly either way. I'm just not sure there's a lot of merit that we're going to have a lot to present that won't already have been exposed to the community with an opportunity for them to comment. And we will not have had a chance to respond to their comments or perhaps even look at them, depending on the detailed timing. I mean, if we choose to keep it open for 2 months and don't actually issue it until the middle of August, we won't even have seen the comments other than what we read, if we choose to read the emails one by one. There certainly won't have been a staff summary of it.
Right, and I fully understand. I don't want to keep us here for more, but I do nonetheless think that there's good arguments for also allowing the community to sort of exchange views other than just submitting them in writing to us on what we do. But, I mean, I understand your point about how we're not yet sure about where this would fall in our timing. And, I mean, we could even imagine that we close the public comment period the week after or something to allow people to come to the engagement session and have an exchange and then possibly submit their views based also on what they hear from other sides of the community. I mean, maybe I'm just dreaming, but, sometimes the multi-stakeholder process has some benefits also in terms of airing views.
Let me ask staff, can you do, on the assumption that we keep the public comment open at least till the week after the ICANN meeting, which essentially says till close to the end of October, when do you believe we would have the public, this, can you think about it and let me know when you believe we'll have the summary ready to work on? I don't need an answer this moment, but,
To reach, but
okay.
From my experience on the CCT report, it takes from 2 to 1 month, 2 weeks to 1 month to produce. It depends on the number of comments that you get.
Okay, so that really means if we keep the public comment open past or into the ICANN meeting and past, you can't assume people are going to submit comments during the meeting. That really means that we're not going to make the December deadline, and we're slipping into probably by the end of January. to do that. I'm fine with that. Others may have a problem pushing it that far, pushing the final report that far out. In any case, Susan has to leave. Let's put it on the agenda, and we'll try to present the various options to people on the meeting on Monday.
And that's the suggested agenda for the next plenary call. So with Agen 62 debrief, subgroup status update, face-to-face meeting number 3, and Agen 63.
That sounds like it's going to be a packed meeting, but the agenda looks fine to me.
Okay. So quickly running through the decisions reached and action items, as you mentioned, based on the comments received. The different recommendations for compliance mentioned there will be updated or reworded. Then we will send out an email to the review team to confirm attendance for the plenary call next Monday and remind them that only 2 weeks are left before the face-to-face meeting, and the Agen 63 discussion will be added to the next plenary call.
Okay, excellent. I presume Susan is already gone, although she's still listed here. And
yep.
Catherine, thank you very much for attending, and we will end the call and see you all Monday morning or Monday sometime,
thanks,
depending
all.
On where you are. Bye-bye.
See you all on Monday. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.